I'm prepared. What's your point? 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Monday, everybody. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice DD, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Lots of big news, obviously. Yep. NSA, all that stuff. However, more importantly, Nancy in Ohio says, OMG, thanks to listening to a StephCast, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Thanks very much. And then taking a shower, that sound of trying to get those last drops of shampoo out of my bottle will never sound the same. It sounds exactly like turtle sex. Yeah. I know what you mean.
You're right.
You don't want to waste just that last little... Right. Okay. All right. I apologize for that.
Wow.
She thought of this when she was in the shower.
And it sounded like someone else's faucet. Is that... Was
right. Oh, and the guy didn't repair his faucet correctly.
Yeah.
And that's how it sounds when he needs water. All right. In the meantime, because we should just start Monday, we start the week with some weirdness.
Yeah.
Rocky Mountain Mike, for some reason, has decided to combine turtle sex, Dana Loesch, Cody the Screaming Dog, and Barry White.
Sure.
Why?
Because,
why not?
Because he can.
Why not? It's weird.
Oh.
That ruined it.
Wow. Dana Loesch having sex with Mitch McConnell.
Oh, God.
Where's Cody? There he is. Wow. Okay.
And another hip-hop
news. Let me just
say,
this is saying something, but of all the weird things that Rocky Mountain Mike has sent us, that is the weirdest.
That is the weirdest.
Yep. Thank you, Mike. Wow. All right, then. So I knew yesterday, Meet the Press, what do you call it, David Gregory? Noted tool, said, oh, so does this mean Edward Snowden has won? Okay.
Yes, he's won fabulous prizes.
Right.
A lifetime supply of borscht, maybe.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
All the borscht you can eat.
Exactly. But, you know, the president, obviously, and again, we've said this over and over again, should this stuff be looked at? Yes. But the president said exactly what I thought.
No, I don't think Mr. Snowden was a patriot. As I said in my opening remarks, I called for a thorough review of our surveillance operations before Mr. Snowden made these leaks. I actually think we would have gotten to the same place, and we would have done so without putting at risk our national security.
And would have done it lawfully.
There's that. Anyway, but, I knew, because I knew I was going to get some of the emails about, see, the president, Snowden was right, and all right, something like that. Actually, what? I have one hate letter. Can I have some hate letter music?
Sure.
I'm not sure if this is regarding the NSA or not. It's from Michael. Subject line, how does it really smell? Do Obama's smell like cookies and his ass smell like cream? You are so ingrained in your leftist views, you have no idea what's really going
leftist?
On. Wake up, stupid.
Obama's leftist? Not a leftist.
Really?
I don't. Okay. No, me.
She's calling Snowden a traitor and she's a leftist?
Wow. I have no idea
political
what the
president dyslexia
smell like. Okay, but thanks for...
That's Michelle's job.
Thanks for your inquiry. All right, by the by, so do we post this?
Yes.
I just thought it was an interesting piece in the LA Times op-ed by we should see if we can get him on. He's a former intelligence guy and director of the whatever. National whatever. I'll find
national
it.
National whatever?
Wow.
National Security Agency. Okay.
NSA.
Right.
There you go.
Andrew Lightman, LA Times. What did Edward Snowden get wrong? Everything. I was talking to a friend about this weekend when all this, when the president spoke on Friday. It's like he leaked stuff to the Chinese and the Russians. How does that make him a patriot? I agree with the president.
But what did he leak? We don't know.
Well, all right. Let me just tell you, and this is from a point of view, because I'm honestly, Jim, I still get concerned about, it may be way above my pay grade, but I'm concerned about security, too. I think that, what the president said, well, here, Let's listen to a little more of the president.
It's true. We have significant capabilities. What's also true is we show a restraint that many governments around the world don't even think to do, refuse to show. And that includes, by the way, some of America's most vocal critics. So we shouldn't forget the difference between the ability of our government to collect information online under strict guidelines and for narrow purposes, and the willingness of some other governments to throw their own citizens in prison for what they say online.
Talking to you,
well,
Putin.
We're not there yet.
Right. Well, anyway, but just
I'm with Alan Grayson.
Just listen. What did Edward Snowden get wrong? Everything. Andrew Lightman in the L.A. Times. We posted this up at the Stephanie Miller Show Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Edward Snowden now out of his limbo at Moscow's airport. Yada yada. Having spent 30 years in the intelligence business, I fervently hope the food is lousy, the winter is cold, and the internet access is awful. But I worry less.
It's Russia. You're pretty much guaranteed all
right.
three of those.
But I worry less about what happens to this one man and more about the damage Snowden has done and could still do to America's long-term ability to strike the right balance between privacy and security. And I do, too. Anyway, he says those following the Snowden saga should understand two key points. First, though many things need to be kept secret in today's dangerous world, the line between secret and not secret is fuzzy rather than stark. And if the goal is security, the harsh truth is we should often err more towards secrets than towards fewer. Second, despite the grumbling from Snowden and his admirers, the U.S. government truly does make strenuous efforts not to violate privacy, not just because it respects privacy, which it does. That goes to what the president was just saying.
Mm-hmm.
But because it doesn't simply have the time to read irrelevant emails or listen in on conversations unconnected to possible plots against American civilians. Incidents like the Snowden affair put my former colleagues in the intelligence community in an impossible situation. Yes, the official explanations about the virtues of data collection efforts can sound self-justifying and vague, but they're still right. I know firsthand that General Keith Alexander, the NSA director, is telling the truth when he talks about the plots that have been preempted and attacks that have been foiled because of the intelligence his agency collected. I know because I was on the inside. I've long held security clearances, and I participated in many of the activities he describes. I spent years in the middle of the effort to identify, disentangle, ultimately attack al-Qaeda. We didn't operate in secrecy because we were ashamed. We operated in the dark because we had to. Al-Qaeda and its affiliates study our actions. They learn from our mistakes. America is safer because we made a point of understanding their methods better than they understand ours. I've admitted to this bias. Do I trust this more because Obama's president? Yes. Do I trust it more when Al Franken and Dianne Feinstein say it? Yes. And I'm just saying, this is certainly one point of view that I think is valid. He said, I understand the trade-offs here, but the intelligence community isn't keeping things from the American people because we don't trust them, but rather because once important security information is out there, anyone can access it, including those who would do us harm. That's, again, Al Franken made that point. So this isn't even necessarily, you know, it doesn't fall necessarily on partisan lines. He said, that's why I find the Snowden controversy so frustrating. I realize that many Americans don't trust their government. I wish I could change that. I wish I could tell people the amazing things I witnessed during my 30 years in the CIA, that I've never seen people work harder or more selflessly, that for that little money and long hours, people took it for granted that their flaws would be scrutinized, their success is ignored. But I've been around long enough to know that deep-rooted distrust of government is immune to stories from people like me, the conspiracy buffs, are too busy howling in protest at the thought that their government could uncover how long they spent on the phone with their dear aunt. Let me break this to you gently. The government is not interested in your conversations with your aunt unless, of course, she's a key terrorist leader. More than 100 billion emails were sent every day last year. 100 billion every day. In that vast mass of data lurk a few bits that are of urgent interest and vast terabytes of tedium that are not. I think he made the analogy, he said, you know, all of the data in the world is a basketball court. What the NSA collects is the size of a dime. But it's still, you know,
so
I mean,
far.
Right. But anyway, as Jeremy Bash, former chief of staff of the CIA, memorably put it, if you're looking for a needle in a haystack, you need a haystack. We've spent enormous amounts of time and effort figuring out how to desegregate the important specs from the overwhelming bulk of relevant data. Snowden didn't offer fresh insight about a massive policy failure. Rather, he took it upon himself, the authority, to decide what tradecraft the intelligence community needs to keep his fellow citizens safe. The intelligence community, always a less sympathetic protagonist than a self-styled whistleblower, actually has a good story to tell about how seriously the government takes privacy issues we should tell it. Anyway, so that, you know, I just thought that was really... And from somebody on the inside, I mean, you know...
Well, somebody from the inside who wants more access to more data.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? Well, he doesn't now. He's a former
intelligence. But he comes from the point of view of the organization that wants the access of the data.
Right. I understand. But what I'm saying is that, you know, the president has said, I have, well, obviously they were looking at this before this whole thing happened with Snowden. He said we arrived at probably the same place we would have without spilling our secrets to the entire world, including the Russians, the Chinese, and terrorists, and God knows who else. But anyway, all right, so more crunchy audio goodness from the president, and much more as we continue 17 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Last it all.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 21 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Hoy in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Hoy. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, hi, Hoy. Go ahead.
Hi. excuse me. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right.
I have a question. I mean, I agree completely with you wholeheartedly, and the person who wrote the letter.
The editorial in the LA Times, yeah.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. Yes, I agree with that completely. What I do not understand is the gentleman, I guess he's to your left, I think.
Jim Ward,
politically.
Yes.
Politically and physically.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, what I do not understand are people like them. I think they live, can we talk about people on the right who live in a bubble? I think they do too. They live in this false bubble. It's like terrorists are, I don't know if they think they're incompetent, or I think they think they're not quite as smart, or they're not up to the par, but these are very smart, genius-like people. And we cannot take that for granted. They do not apply their terrorist activities to what our quote-unquote Constitution says.
Your quote-unquote Constitution?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much what it is now.
The Constitution is pretty cut and dried.
Excuse me. Number one, I'm black. So the Constitution, when I look at it, so I don't want to go there with you on the Constitution. When I look at it, I do not think it applies to us. That's what I'm talking about. So therefore, you look at that Constitution, I don't think our terrorists are looking at it going as if, well, we can't do that because their Constitution says this.
No,
well,
that's
we won't
not
do that
the
because
point. It's the point is that we're destroying the Constitution from within.
I mean, we're ignoring the Fourth Amendment.
The Fourth Amendment's pretty much dead.
When has the Constitution ever stood for all Americans? Name me that time that the Constitution has ever stood for all Americans.
So we should just throw it out.
I think that we should revise it.
It's pretty hard to revise.
I take the constitutional convention.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Hoy, I think I get what you're. I think you're expressing the same concern I have between security and what do you call it? I'm blanking out, but I know what you're saying. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying I think it's a debate worth having. And I honestly, when people say, "Oh, is it just because Obama? You trust Obama?" Yes. Partially.
Amen. Me too.
Yeah, partially. The president on Friday.
The men and women of our intelligence community work every single day to keep us safe because they love this country and believe in our values. They're patriots. And I believe that those who have lawfully raised their voices on behalf of privacy and civil liberties are also patriots who love our country. So this is how we're going to resolve our differences in the United States, through vigorous public debate, guided by our Constitution, with reverence for our history as a nation of laws, and with respect for the facts.
And throwing out the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Well,
really?
I mean,
you said lawfully, too. You said if we can do it lawfully. And the president made a good point. He said if Edward Snowden thinks what he did is right, like any other American, he can come back and face a court of law.
Exactly. He needs to come back and face a court
right.
of law
but
like a man.
But he's not going to.
No, he's not going to. But we also should.
So
we
if
also
he
be,
thinks what he did is right.
This isn't just about Ed Snowden.
But we should also follow the Fourth Amendment lawfully.
I mean, that's what the president was talking about. That's what he's looking at. I mean, Jim, for you to go during the break, you're like, oh, the CIA has done a lot of terrible things.
Well, they have.
Yes. Right. But does that mean that there's not a lot of patriots, like the president said, and hardworking people
sure,
that are trying
there
to keep Americans safe?
Absolutely.
But you shouldn't just turn a blind eye to some of the awful things that they've done as well.
I'm not. I think that
we're pretty much
and again, does it make a difference who's at the top? Yes. When George Bush was ordering torture, yes. then it makes a huge difference. Frank in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Frank.
Yeah, you know, it's not surprising that the government spies on you, but the problem is that they privatized it. And why would they pay a
$1 billion a year
to do this, and you don't even know what they're doing with the information?
Mm-hmm.
Their only allegiance is to the CEO and the stockholders. Right.
That is probably the biggest thing that Snowden did was break
open.
So
we shouldn't be giving jackalopes like him access to our national security.
Yes.
It's another step in privatizing the government. You know, it's obscene or absurd.
And Frank, you know, my
always cheaper because they don't make a profit.
Right.
You know, and you have people that are dedicated when they work for the government. They're dedicated because they want their pension.
Yeah.
They want to retire.
Right. And that's, you know, the point that you've made, Chris, is that first of all, I feel like Greenwald used him. Mm-hmm. He put him up to this. He didn't go into this job to serve.
And now Snowden's life
America.
Is completely ruined.
Right. He did this to you know. To leak all this stuff. And
right.
Yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, Greenwald is sitting comfortably in wherever he is.
Yeah. Kevin in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Kevin.
Hello. My point is, we forget that Snowden is working for Booz Allen, not working for the U.S. government.
Right.
And we're looking at, you know, we should be blaming the company that let it, you know, it's like private prisons or whatever.
Exactly.
These guys are working for Booz Allen, they think what Booz Allen is doing is wrong, not necessarily what the government's doing wrong. And so we always make them the bad guy, as opposed to investigating the company that let these secrets go. Because it wasn't him, it was the company that let him go, and we're the one giving billions of dollars. So I just think he's, you know, he did wrong, yes, but let's investigate what this company's doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
And the whole private prisons thing is really heinous, where they have a financial stake in creating more clients for the prisons and making things illegal.
Which, by the way, it's awesome what Eric Holder is doing. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Chuck in Idaho, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chuck.
Hi. Yeah, I agree with Jim, too. I believe we're not sitting in the seat that these whistleblowers have sat in and had access to the buttons that they could push and access information that scared the bejeebies out of them, that caused them to release this information. And we don't, nobody's addressing what are we going to do to prevent these types of things like at Booz Allen or from the government.
Yeah, that's the key that we keep talking about. And I think that was the first question everybody had about this. How does a guy like this get access to...
Or a private company like that, whose answer is to absolutely nobody except for their shareholders.
This ties into the whole Koch brothers thing, just the privatization of everything.
Yeah.
And... monetization of everything.
And putting top secret information into the hands of private citizens who are not government employees.
Yeah, and might have other agendas, like Glenn Greenwald's. Hello, Scott in Charlotte. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Steph. Long time, first time.
Thank you.
There's a lot of controversy over people and their internet access and their email, and people are all up in arms about what's going on in the world today. But I don't think people really understand how the internet works. I mean, when you log into any system, it reads what's on your computer, your IP address, which computer it is, just for the internet to work.
Yep.
When you send an email, it's people complain, well, I don't want my email read. It's like sending a postcard through the postal service and then complain that somebody reads the back of it.
Listen, I just signed up for Netflix this weekend, and I, you know what, I've pretty much given up all my amendments. But it was worth it. They could watch House of Cards.
I mean, if you want to send a picture of your grandkid to, you know, Aunt Tilly or something like that.
You don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, good points. 29 minutes after the hour, Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Drunk news report from
Stephanie Miller.
We haven't had one of those since they canceled Passions. This should be good.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's get rude.
Sleep up at the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning. I do have to throw in here one of the things you talked about.
Uh-oh.
I once saw two giant tortoises having sex.
Uh-huh.
And it was quite a sight. It was one that just took the other one from behind.
Right.
Moving slowly.
Yep.
Slowly. But the one on top looked so into it. Its mouth was open.
Yeah.
It drool was coming out.
Right.
And I felt like...
And it gets airborne, too. Like, its entire front section is up in the air.
It is.
Yeah.
It was remarkable. It was truly... And the sound was a little deeper than the one that you played.
I did not realize...
I don't mean to weigh in on the controversies, but...
Sorry. I didn't know you were such a turtle sex aficionado.
Do you work for Vivid Video, by any chance?
Please weigh in on it, because I'm sure we differ on the NSA stuff and what the president said.
If you want to go happy clappy on the press conference, I'd rather talk about him, you know, smacking around the Republicans on health care and immigration.
That was great.
I know. We're going to talk to Jackie about that next hour. He really did. Didn't he, like, put it more concisely and I think better than he ever has?
Oh, I think so. I think that there's your 2014 campaign. You know, how many times did Representative X vote to prevent 30 million people from getting health insurance?
Well, I mean, Salon has a great piece, Rude, but it's about really that it would have been tough for, you know, the president to seize this debate until now, because this is exactly what we're saying, because people, it wasn't, you know, in place yet. And now that it is and people are seeing the benefits, he's able to seize control of the debate in a way that, I think you're right. It was just a smackdown of the Republicans.
Oh, it really was. And it was also that, I feel like it's putting into stark relief the fact that the reason Republicans are scared of Obamacare is that they believe it's going to work. And that if it works, you know, their whole governing philosophy is kind of screwed.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, can you imagine every morning, like, another state has another headline about premiums going down? You know, and we got a call last week, remember, Chris, from a former Republican who said, you know, Obamacare has saved my life, and my wife and I would have been bankrupt if, you know, X, Y, and Z, and that's their worst nightmare.
Oh, it is. And, you know, those are the stories that are going to be paraded out, I was able to get treatment for cancer because of Obamacare.
And the overreaching is so great, because he's able to say they want to shut down the government over trying to keep 30 million people from getting health insurance.
Yep. They are putting themselves into an ideological corner, and Obama, and hopefully the Democrats will follow him on this, because they haven't before, but hopefully they'll follow him into keeping them in the corner.
Yep. Let's talk about your piece, Why Ann Coulter and Bill O'Reilly Are C-Words. One of my more favorite posts lately, may I just say.
Thank you.
Well, and that, oh, and the fun fact that's in here, that Tokyo Tank Attack is one of Rude Pundit's favorite new sexual positions.
Well, you know, awesome. You know, when you spend as much time, you know, looking at porn as I do, then,
right.
You come across some of the strange fringes that involve turtles and other things.
All right, tanks? Good to know. Good to know.
I don't think it involves tanks. Something just tells me.
So, it is amazing. I watched this, too, Bill O'Reilly. Anyway, O'Reilly, shortly after the verdict, acquitting George Zimmerman of murdering Trayvon Martin, despite the fact that George Zimmerman murdered Trayvon Martin, that single black mothers are to blame for violent crime by black youths. Yeah, I remember watching it. Didn't he even do, like, more than... This, like, was more than one day topic?
Oh, yeah. And this was where, you know, like Don Lemon on CNN, you know, weighed in supporting O'Reilly, and it also caused a bit of an uproar. But, the fact that O'Reilly did this without, and Coulter went along, you know, agreed with him without giving any credence to the idea that institutional or social racism, you know, may have played a role is just puts the whole thing to a lie.
Yeah. And, well, you said at this point to say Bill O'Reilly says something ignorant and racist is like saying Bill O'Reilly took a breath. and O'Reilly also blames the entertainment industry for making thugs look glamorous, which is something they totally never did in the salad days of the Jimmy Cagney flicks. Yeah, that's new.
Yeah. They never made high-living gangsters look cool. No, they never did that. None of those.
Top of the world, Ma. Top of the world.
Yeah, none of those films about Italian mobsters, you know. You know, it's not like say a lot of people in gangs go around with Scarface shirts, which is what they do. They worship that movie, which is about Cuban gangsters.
Yeah, exactly. You said Coulter then praises O'Reilly for speaking truth. She gives a bunch of history and statistics about how Lyndon Johnson ruined everything. Well, in my family, he did. Yeah. But that's an entirely different story. Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. He just has people on to, you know, support his thesis, right? With a bunch of...
Right. That's it. And then he's had screaming fights with even people like Kristen Powers, who's, you know, somewhat left of the Fox News line, but
barely.
He'll get into screaming matches with them over things, and I guess you can't get your point in by rhetoric. You have to use a jackhammer on somebody's head.
you read a piece about Washington Post's Mark Thiessen. He said because people don't trust President Obama because of the IRS scandal, quote unquote, national security will be harmed because Congress might pass rules governing NSA surveillance. And you say if your reaction to that groin-pulling twist of irrationality isn't the what, then you're an idiot. I mean, that's what I get. I get upset about, Rude, is that there are people predictably on TV. They're going to go on Meet the Press, and whatever the storyline is, President Obama bad, that's the one they're going to find, right?
Exactly, and they're going to hang on to it. And you know, it was funny this weekend. I went to a county fair in New Jersey. Okay, and I walked past the Tea Party tent. Oof. That was set up there, the local Tea Party tent. And I told the people I was with, "Oh, I'm going in." and so I go in, and this guy comes up to me and, you know, shakes my hand and says, and he says, "So, do you agree with the Tea Party?" And I said, "Not really." And, you know, not wanting to alienate him right off the bat. And he says, well, you know, what about NSA surveillance? And I said, okay, yes, there's one thing we can agree on. The very next moment he goes to, and what about that IRS scandal?
Oh, God.
And then he starts telling me about, you know, they targeted Tea Party organizations, and they, you know, they even asked people what books they read. They wanted book reports.
They did
from
not.
People. No, of course,
oh, God.
Not. Of course not.
Oh my God!
Yeah, this is what he's. This is the head of the local Tea Party. What he's telling people that come into their tent.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was very shortly after that that I looked outside the tent and went, "Oh yeah, hey, the people I'm with are waving at me."
Oh yeah, I gotta go.
Yeah, you know, yeah. If they try and spread lies like that, no wonder it's so easy to take them down when they call in.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you know,
because we baffle them with facts.
And that's the thing is, I said, well, you know, actually, the Bush White House, you know, they use the IRS to target people, and the Bush White House started the NSA surveillance, and they'll say, oh, but the Tea Party wasn't around in the Bush administration, and I just wanted to say, it's not all about you!
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no, exactly right. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, once again, to me, it just, under the Bush administration, I mean, that was political targeting, right? Whether it was, I can't remember the church out here that mm-hmm. was, anti-war. I mean, you can go on and on, right, Rue?
Leaks on Joseph Wilson, I mean, you know, meant to deliberately destroy somebody's career and credibility.
Mm-hmm.
There was direct political targeting. I mean, you know, we can argue over what the NSA is doing, and I think
right.
you and I, the point of agreement that we have is that these things do need review, and they do need some kind of oversight, and that, you know, what Obama announced
right.
sounds like a great direction to go in.
Right, but that's what I'm saying, is I think there are some people like that are just anti-government crazies. I mean, whoever they are, my point has always been the government, quote-unquote, it operates differently depending on who's running it. You know, FEMA ran great under Bill Clinton. Under George Bush, not so much, right? You know, Jim brought up the CIA. Well, yeah, when Cheney and Bush are ordering them to torture, what they're doing is not so great. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, I think the president has made, you know, more efforts than certainly any other administration has in this regard.
Right. In some of the areas, and again, I think that some of the things he discussed in the press conference, some of the unilateral disarmament of some of the powers by actually having some kind of oversight, That's great, but that's what it should have been all along.
Right, but and the Bush administration would never have done that. Do you know what I mean? At least this president, I think, looks at stuff and really does try to be fair about it.
Well, no, and if there's one thing about the Obama administration is when somebody brings up a concern, they address it, and especially when somebody that's, you know, on the, you know, that is ostensibly supporting the Obama administration, the Bush administration used to just dismiss it outright. Oh, you know, deficits aren't a problem. You know, what are you talking about, a deficit? Or simply saying that, or simply, you know, painting you as a traitor. So, you know, I'm glad that, you know, that Obama didn't go that far. If it had been the Bush administration, it wouldn't have just been that Edward Snowden is not a patriot. It would have been, he's a traitor, and, you know, we'll be gitmoing him soon.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Rudeness, some great rude stuff, including the whole Tokyo tank thing. Really good visual.
Yeah.
And really good visual.
Google probably exploded for people trying to look that up.
Yes.
Make sure safe search is off.
All right.
I also just want to say real quick. I just want to thank you for having me on Current TV. I'm not leaving. I'll be on the radio.
Oh, yes.
But also to say farewell to John Fugelsang and his show.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Because that man is a mensch, and and his show was a blast.
Indeed, I know. It's a sad week here for Current TV, but as you say, the radio show will continue. We will see you Monday.
All right,
honey. Okay. And we will have a new TV outlet to announce.
We will.
I'm not sure when, but make sure you follow us on Facebook and go to our website.
And keep listening to the radio show, either on the Stephanie Miller app or on TuneIn Radio, Progressive Voices.
Or on the wireless.
Because once we find out, we'll just be announcing it incessantly.
There you go. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee, or getting a splinter, or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show this hour, brought to you by Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again. Go to identityguard.com. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The president on Friday regarding the NSA stuff. The president.
All these steps are designed to ensure that the American people can trust that our efforts are in line with our interests and our values.
All right, let's go to Jay in Chicago on this very same subject. Hello, Jay. Hi, Jay.
Hello? He's been silenced.
All right. Yeah. Hi, Jay. Yes, I silenced him, clearly. Hello, Jay.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Obama had 3 or 4 years to come clean with this. You wouldn't even be talking about this without Snowden. So he can't say that he wants this conversation. You wouldn't even be having it unless somebody whistleblowed it. So what do you got to say to that?
Yeah. What do you got to say to that?
That was kind of funny.
All right. That was a Chicago accent.
He does have a point.
How does he know that?
Oh, come on. I was just reading an article about
the
intelligence.
By Alex Jones or?
No.
Oh, okay. Glenn Beck?
I you know what?
Shut up.
I mean, if you look at this honestly, I really don't think we'd be having this conversation without Snowden.
Well, let's go back. Listen to the president. You tell me again.
No, I don't think Mr. Snowden was a patriot.
I don't either.
As I said in my opening remarks, I called for a thorough review of our surveillance operations before Mr. Snowden made these leaks. I actually think we would have gotten to the same place, and we would have done so without putting at risk our national security.
The president's lying?
Well, I don't know that
is
he
the
would
president
have
lying?
I don't know that he would have gone public with it.
But you just implied that he's lying. And by the way, bloat is not a word. Guy from Chicago.
Well, but the part of the problem is that the people in the Intelligence Committee have ties, financial ties, to the intelligence industry. And they...
Okay, so Al Franken's wrong, Dianne Feinstein's wrong. Anybody that says that is wrong?
Alan Grayson's been trying to get to the bottom of stuff, and it's just been
stonewalled.
Yeah.
Representative.
But, now you don't like Alan Grayson anymore.
I do. I love Alan Grayson. I've said many times, he's actually a personal friend of mine, Jim, so I don't
know.
I don't know what you're implying. I think that we need people like Alan Grayson. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, he knows won't get passed. But, you know, he does it to shine a light on stuff, and I obviously support him in a lot of it.
Grayson says he would back similar legislation that Rand Paul was, which is odd, talking about in the House, adding that surveillance programs are fundamentally inconsistent with what America is all about.
Rand Paul is, okay.
That's Alan Grayson talking.
Representative Dutch Ruppersberger.
Whose name is Dutch.
Right.
So I applaud the president for bringing us there and talking about how do we educate the public that we need this program.
Let's go to Gail in Sacramento. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gail.
Hi, Stephanie. The conversation is just really black and white on this. When it's gray, it's actually gray. The president is responsible for whole national security. I can't imagine what that is, you know, what that responsibility is like. So when he asked for additional funding for Benghazi, he's turned down. Benghazi happens. And we have how many? You know, so he's damned if he does.
Right. And then when he closes the embassies, he's accused of, you know, he did that.
Right.
He's
cowardice. Right. He's always weak on national security. That's how it's always going to be painted. Nobody's happy with the surveillance. Nobody's happy. But what happens if you're given the job and you back something off? Or you don't pay for something that you asked for and something happens. Then you get Benghazi gate and you are put under a frying pan. So who's going to be the guy that's going to say, okay, we're going to cut this program?
Yep, I hear you. Under a frying pan? Maybe in a frying pan.
Sure. Under a frying pan would be in the fire.
Under a microscope? I'm not sure what she meant. Al in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey,
hi, Al.
Good morning, everybody. Let's not make the same mistake we made in 2010 complaining about the public option. Jim, you listening? Mm-hmm. Now, listen, we don't have the political power right now to complain about NSA surveillance. We got bridges to fix. We got roads to fix. How many bills still sitting on a shelf right now? Mm-hmm. I'll say this to my dismal allies. We can't allow Glenn Greenwald and Edward Snowden to distract us from winning back the House. If Republicans get control of the executive branch, there isn't going to be a FISA court. There won't be any regulations. As a matter of fact, you can kiss the American dream goodbye because they're going to do whatever they want with the executive branch.
Really?
So who would you rather have, Jim?
Are we at the same place as we were under George Bush?
I'm just talking about the...
Jim, who would you rather have?
Oh, come on. Obviously, I want Democrats in control. But,
okay, well, we
but
can't
a lot
allow
of the Democrats
to be the enemy
and
of the good. You know what I mean?
I understand that. But a lot of people in the intelligence committees...
have financial ties to intelligence companies.
They're
this is a right-wing conspiracy. Glenn Greenwald is not exactly, you know, someone you can trust.
I agree with you there.
Yeah, I mean, he made the story more about him than anything. It was the quoting last week. It was like, you know, the sort of breathtaking arrogance, thinking this is all because of him, you know, that the... Anyway.
I think he's an ass.
By the way, Edward Snowden's father, I mean, really?
My son has spoken the truth. He has sacrificed more than either the President of the United States or Peter King have ever in their political careers or their American lives.
Really, he's a hero and a patriot, and the president is not. Okay. Go ahead,
Jim.
I just wanted to the intelligence committees of both the House and Senate exercise primary oversight of the NSA, but the committees are, with the exception of a handful of members, notoriously beholden to the NSA and the intelligence community generally. Its members typically receive much larger contributions from the defense and surveillance industries than non-committee members. Feinstein, Mike Rogers, and Dutch Ruppersberger, whose district not only includes
secret.
NSA headquarters in Fort Meade, but also himself the second largest recipient of defense intelligence industry cash. Anyway, so they have a financial incentive to do the NSA's bidding. That's not really oversight.
Right, but, okay, so you're saying that Dianne Feinstein, Al Frank, any of those people don't care about America or don't care about keeping Americans safe as well?
I'm just saying that some of the contributions they may get from the intelligence industry
may blind them to.
Blind them somewhat.
Yeah.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour, Jackie Schechner joins us next. We have the president bitch slapped the Republicans on Obamacare, which I love.
That we can agree upon.
There you go. We'll talk about that with Jackie next on the Stephanie Miller Show. The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Where's my little friend? Jackie Schechner joins us now. Yes. Well, Nurse Jackie. Good morning, Nurse Jackie.
Oh, good morning.
So, yeah, I know what I'm getting you. By the way, I was telling you at the top of the hour, the Happy Ride, which is a... actually, it's a bike seat cover for spinning class, and it has a little vibrator in the middle of the seat.
Yeah, that's not something that I think I'd like to have.
$37 or priceless. You just saying. Okay.
Question is, could I move it from my hybrid road bike to my spinning bike,
to your
my
spin,
indoor
exactly.
Bike?
Exactly. Well, I think it's a seat cover, so I believe it is. It's portable.
So it's portable.
Can we get back to this riding in candlelight thing?
Oh, yes. There's ambiance at our spinning class. It's dark and there's candles.
The idea is that you don't want other, like, it's not about looking at each other.
Does
right?
the fire
it's
department about... know about this?
They do now.
That's
all
insane.
Right. By
no,
the way.
No, it's the idea is that there's no judgment.
But what
you're
does
riding
it do?
Essentially in the dark.
But what right. does it do to the oxygen in the room? I mean, it sucks all the oxygen
out of the
you're
room.
You're breathing pure CO2.
No, you're not.
You're breathing in, yeah, you're breathing in wick smoke.
He is such
yeah,
a naysayer.
Three candles yes. are sucking all the oxygen out of the room.
I think it's dark so the NSA can rifle through your gym bag. And
yeah, I think while you're in there, they're going through all the lockers.
Right. Okay. Jackie Schechner, how about that bitch slapping the president gave Republicans on Obamacare?
Here, yeah, not bad.
Here he is Friday.
My friends in the other party have made the idea of preventing these people from getting health care their holy grail, their number one priority, the one unifying principle.
Yeah, I mean, he really, and you've said this all along, Jackie, it was hard to, you know, seize the control of this debate until it started actually kicking in, right?
Yeah, that's the problem, is it took a long time to implement because we're talking about a heavy lift here, and we knew it was going to be a while before everything could snap into place, and it's going to be a moving along, the process is going to continue, right? We're not going to get everything up and running perfectly right off the bat. But now that we're starting to see some of the positive effects and the news stories coming out about how much premiums could drop and how many people are going to have access to health care or health insurance, at least, that didn't have it before, the president is now, I think his rhetoric's getting a little stronger, which is nice. You know, unfortunately, we're still getting all of the rumors and the myths, and people are sending me notes asking me to debunk some of the craziness that's still out there, but it's nice for at least to see the president coming out strongly saying
right.
what he is.
Yeah, I sent you this piece in Salon, how Obama turned Obamacare into a weapon, but, you know, that's what they were saying after Friday, that, you know, he actually flipped the script on Republicans who remain obsessed with repealing it. This is the president again Friday. President Obama on Friday. Here he is.
Shoot.
Okay, or maybe not.
Yeah.
Okay, and here it
At
is.
At least they used to say, well, we're going to replace it with something better. There's not even a pretense now that they're going to replace it with something better. I've been hearing about this whole replace thing for 2 years now. I just don't hear about it because, basically, they don't have an agenda to provide health insurance to people.
And he
yeah,
went
there
on.
Never was a replacement. He's right. I mean, never along the way was there a replacement. They just wanted to repeal it. That's always been the rhetoric.
And he, you know, and also I think it's good that he really, like, stayed on point. He said all those benefits I just mentioned, kids staying on their parents' plan, seniors getting discount on their prescription drugs, I guess a return to lifetime limits on insurance, people with pre-existing conditions continuing to be blocked from being able to get health insurance. So, I mean, I think it benefits us politically that they're even going to the extreme of saying they're going to shut the government down over trying to keep 30 million people from getting all those benefits, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's as simple as it is. And I'd love to know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, like, I'd love to know what exactly it is people object so strongly to. Like, I think instead of coming out with the talking points that we've been hearing over and over again, and people say it's Obamacare, and it's a government-run program, and they're the death panels, and, like, what specifically do you think is in there that you're objecting to so vehemently? Because
right.
I don't think anybody has any idea, any of the people who are against it. And, frankly, at this point, I'm starting to think that some of the Republican lawmakers don't have any idea what's in it.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, but also the Salon piece goes to, you know, same thing you've always said, a year ago, 2 years ago, the law's core benefits were abstractions. there wasn't a lot of margin in defending them because they weren't part of people's lived experiences. And this is what you always said, Jackie, is this is what they're afraid of, that people are starting to, you know, and as Salon writes, that's all about to change. Uninsurance rates are about to drop quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Repeal will soon take on a much different meaning. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing as we see like one headline after another, right, from one state after another. That's exactly what they fear.
Yeah, there is an often misquoted soundbite from Nancy Pelosi a while back, right before we passed the health care bill, where people will like to say, you know, we need to pass it so we can see what's in it.
Right.
And that's how it's misquoted. And I went back and I watched the original press conference where she made the remarks. And what she was saying in context, if you watch it, is that once we pass the law and people see what's in it, none of these rumors or rhetoric will have the traction they do now.
Right.
If you go back and you watch the clip in its entirety, that's exactly what she says. But the snippet's been taken out of context and circulated widely over the last few years, and people quote Pelosi as saying, you need to pass it so we know it's in it, using that as an argument to say nobody read the bill, they're going to pass it under the cloak of midnight and the secrecy of the dark. And so I would advise people to just go back, and if you're hearing these same things over and over again, to just take a look at the root of them, because a lot of times they've been so distorted over the last few years that they hold no credibility. They never did in the first place, but they hold no water or credibility anymore. And when your friends are saying that this is the case, I would go back and take a look at the origins, because I was surprised when I'd heard that originally, and I went back and looked and said, oh, that's not what she said at all.
Well, what she's saying, and more importantly, goes to the point of exactly what we're saying now, is once people, this is exactly what's happening, once people are actually living and seeing what the benefits are, this is exactly when the president can seize the debate, and I think he really did Friday, right?
Right, yes. And I wish he'd done it sooner. I really do. I'm a firm believer of there's no benefit in compromising in public, and there's no benefit in ceding ground to the other side. And I think that Democrats being weak on health care reform and the president not being as strong on it as he possibly could all the way along has been problematic.
Well, it is a little ridiculous to me that some Democrats ran against it last time, and now when this starts kicking in, now they're going to run, no, I was always behind Obama.
It's really ridiculous. It's really stupid, and I wish that they had bothered to take a look at the details and realize what they were allegedly running against, because I just don't think that the people who are screaming the loudest know necessarily what they're screaming about.
Well,
it's the whole hands off my Medicare.
Thank you, Queen Segway, because the headline about John Boehner is the mistake so nice he made it twice. for the second time in less than a week, Speaker Boehner sent out a link on his Twitter account which claimed one thing while exposing another. This time he tweeted a link to a story from South Carolina which proclaims rates in South Carolina will rise 50% to 70%. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, you know, it's a completely inaccurate.
When I say 70%, I'm about 1,000%.
Yeah, well, I think he's counting on people not reading. I mean, I would imagine, unless he's just that accident prone.
Right.
But I think that he's probably counting on people not clicking through. You know, and the other thing I think it's important to note in the wake of the Howard Dean editorial and some other questions people are asking is, just because people who support the Affordable Care Act have concerns with it or questions about it doesn't mean that they're against it altogether. Like, the unions have some issues with it, and I'm sure some corporations have some issues with it. There are some, everybody does, right? I mean, it's not perfect. We're talking about a huge lift to change our healthcare system, which has.
Uh oh. What happened to Jackie?
I blame Snowden.
There you go. Snowden has cut her line. All right. She will call us back. Yeah, I wanted to get her take. It's interesting. In the same article about Boehner, it says many of these Republican-controlled states have done all they can to try and sabotage the law, driving up health care premiums because they don't want the law to work, and they're doing all they can to ensure that it doesn't, while states like California, New York, Oregon, and Washington are all reporting premiums lower than expected because these states have done what they were supposed to do and allowed the law to work. So I'm curious, you know, how that is going to play out state to state. And that's exactly, I mean, that's they're going to say, see, it doesn't work because they did everything they could to sabotage it. All right. We're getting Jackie back. Let's, Jerry in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, good morning, Steph.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Well, here's a major objection. If you live in Southern California, like I do, Los Angeles, Cedars-Sinai or UCLA will not accept any of the plans that are on the exchange. You will not be able to get into Cedars-Sinai or UCLA if you buy your health care plan on the exchange.
On any of the companies on the exchange?
will not be accepted at Cedars-Sinai UCLA. They have announced that already.
Wow.
And in terms of all the benefits that you're expressing, those benefits weren't given away for free. Everybody's premiums went up because kids who are under 26 are accepted on their plan.
Wait a minute, wait. Premiums have gone down in California. You're talking about California?
They have not gone down in California. Nobody's listening to this phone call to this TV station has had reduced premiums because of the new health care plan. Everybody's plans have gone up. Yeah, they've given you a little bit of a rebate every year, but that's a fraction compared to how much health care premiums have gone up over the last 4 years.
Right, but that's not because of Obamacare. That's because of your insurance company.
Right.
Yeah, because
hang on one second, Jerry. Let me lock you down here. Hang on. Let me lock Jackie down. Okay, Jackie, go ahead. I don't know if you're listening to Jerry. He said people's premiums have actually gone up.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act. That has to do with the insurance companies raising the premiums to try to pad their profits before any sort of new restrictions go into place.
No, they've raised the premiums because now they have to cover people till 26. Now they have unlimited liability. That's why they've raised premiums.
No, it's not. No, it's not. That is absolutely untrue. That is absolutely untrue.
So they're giving away these extra benefits at no cost to them. They're just being a nice company and just going to give coverage till 26 because they want to do that.
No. The number of kids who are allowed to stay on their parents' plan to 26 doesn't make that kind of a dent in the insurance company's premium expenditures. And in addition to that, you're talking about young people who don't consume a lot of health care on average anyway.
Okay. Look, clearly premiums have gone up a lot in the last 4 years, maybe even close to at least 50%. But getting back to the UCLA and Cedars-Sinai.
But the law hasn't gone into effect yet. That's the part you don't seem to understand, is that the law hasn't gone into effect yet.
Parts of the law have gone into effect already. 26, that's gone into effect already. And
right.
That's why the companies have been raising their premiums. And the second part is UCLA.
No, it's not. That's not true.
Well, that's your opinion. I mean, that's just
no, it's
a
not. It's a fact.
Point.
It's not my opinion. I happen to know the law incredibly well, and that is not why.
Jackie, the other thing Jerry was saying is that
China is not accepted by these plans. UCLA and Cedars-Sinai will not accept any of the plans in the exchange. That's a fact. And that's going to be a big problem for most people that know the two best health care programs in California are at Cedars-Sinai and UCLA.
Where did you read this? I'd love to see that article that says they're not
going to. They've announced it already. Cedars-Sinai and UCLA have not. They're not going to accept any of the insurance companies on the exchange.
Why would that be?
Because the reimbursements are going to be so low to the hospitals, they don't want to accept those plans.
Wait. I don't understand. The plans aren't the amount of reimbursement hasn't been announced in terms of how much they're going to reimburse. They're
right.
The regular insurance plans. They're the same insurance plans that people are getting through their employer.
It's the same companies.
They're all private companies.
I'm a physician. Every insurance plan reimburses a different amount for different procedures to different facilities. Look it up. UCLA, Cedars-Sinai will not accept these plans. I have to go right now. I'm starting surgery. I'll call back tomorrow.
Okay.
This time.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Dr. Jerry.
Okay.
I love how the surgeon calls the talk show right before he starts.
Yeah. That's interesting. He had time
Isn't
for that.
Shouldn't he prepping
go,
and washing?
He has to go scrub up now, Jackie,
yeah.
So he can't.
I got no time. I'm on the phone.
I'm a physician.
I have to go. Yes. I'm a physician that called into your radio show right before I go do surgery.
Yeah. Let me just say, I had already called Paul on that call before when he saw a physician. I'm like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
He's going into surgery now.
Yeah.
All right, Jackie, can you hang on? Because we lost you there for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
All right, one more.
Absolutely.
All right, one more block. Here we go. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, right back with more Jackie's Healthcare Corner next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
Hey, It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. Someone tweeted us that, hello, I'm a physician who just stumbled upon your show as the new I'm a small business owner.
Yeah.
And I just like to listen to both sides. All right. Nurse Jackie is back with us again. Hello, Jackie Shepard.
Hi. I want to make some remarks about the Cedars-Sinai thing we were talking about before the break, because I've done a little bit of research on it. First of all, anything you read from Betsy McCoy, you should immediately dismiss as baloney.
Yeah.
people are linking to, it's a New York Post article. She's been an opponent of healthcare reform since the Clinton days.
Mm.
She is totally dishonest. There's absolutely nothing you can hear from her that is of truth. But
yes, but I'm a physician, so you have to listen to me.
I am getting ready for surgery, and I must scrub up.
Well, here's what I will say, is that there actually is a report about Cedars-Sinai saying that it's not going to accept healthcare plans that participate in the exchange. That's a hospital decision. And if the hospital's choosing not to participate in that network or exchange, then that's up to the hospital to do that if it wants to. But I don't think it has anything to do necessarily with reimbursement rates, because we don't know what these plans are going to reimburse. And the reason why costs have gone down is because these insurance companies have agreed to take a lower profit margin to participate in the exchange,
right,
because they know they'll be getting more people. They'll be getting more customers.
Right. All right. Let's get a couple more in here. Mike in Atlanta, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm the anesthesiologist for that last guy that called in, so I've got to do this really quick. I'm from Georgia, and my beautiful governor is not putting us in the exchanges. I'm 45 years old and in good health, and I want to get on the exchange. I want to be part of it. You know, not just for the insurance, but to help it move along. So what do I do? I mean, is there going to be a national plan for me, or do I just have to move?
No, don't move, because I hear Georgia's lovely.
No, you don't. You have no idea what it's like down here being a Democrat. No idea whatsoever.
No, what I will say is the states that have chosen not to set up their own exchanges are going to have the federal government set up the exchange for them. It's the great irony of the state lawmakers who want states' rights want to participate, is that the default in healthcare law is that the federal government will set up an exchange.
And when does that start, Jackie?
Well, it'll be open for enrollment beginning of October, and it will be up and running for actual usage beginning of January, like all the other ones.
And again, to make a point about that last guy, the reason that the rates have gone up since, you know, for years and years, before there were even discussions about Obamacare.
Right.
You know, I mean, it went up an average of 20% every year. That's why I don't have insurance anymore. I couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
It just kept going up and up and up and up. I mean, and the problem was, even when the rates were going up, the co-pays were going up, and, you know, the out-of-pocket was going up. It wasn't where you were getting a better plan for more money. They just kept taking more of my money and giving me less for the coverage.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we felt the need. We had to do something. Like, the status quo was
absolutely
just untenable, and I people don't seem to understand is that you couldn't leave the system the way it was, because everything was more and more unaffordable, and you weren't getting any benefits for your money. And I think people who are complaining about what the exchange will and won't have to keep something else in mind, and that's we're talking about people who otherwise have no access to medical care.
Yeah, Pat right. and right, right, right. Yeah, no, very good point. Pat in Tacoma, you're on with Jackie.
I'm from. I was listening to that guy from California. He's full of it. I have cousins down there, and they see their insurance plans come down, and they're not on Medicare yet. My oldest cousin is, but my younger ones aren't. But I'm on Medicare, and I saw new stuff as of last year, not just this year. I saw more new stuff on Medicare. But I had a friend call me and told me how sorry she felt for me because Obamacare was killing Medicare, and I had to set her straight.
Well, thank you for doing that. It's important. It's important that people...
Yeah, because...
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jackie.
No, I say it's important that people do that, because the reality is that we're going to be fine. Everybody's going to be okay. And what we're doing is giving access to health insurance and thereby medical care, health care, to people who otherwise wouldn't have it. And we're not cutting Medicare. There are no death panels. There are kinks in the system. We'll work them out. But nobody's dying. Nobody's being shoved into a government-run program. Like, everyone needs to just calm down.
All right. You heard. Everybody calm the down. Nurse Jackie. All right. Thank you, honey. We'll see you at the top
love
of the
you
hour.
Guys.
Bye.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
In my day, women didn't make a sound.
Yeah, that's right, best. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Cindy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello. I wanted to say something about the privatizing of our intelligence.
Yes.
But I just wanted to make one comment about the health care because of the conversation. I want to thank you for having Jackie on because she puts those facts out there.
Yeah, she's there's nothing better than listening to her bitch slap fake physicians.
And I live out here in what I call crabby Republican land. People out here think that Obamacare is an it. I don't want to be on it. And I always tell them it's not an it. There are all different plans depending on what you want to do, what's good for you. You will have a lot of choices, and they are shocked when I tell them that. So
yeah.
that's the thing about health care.
Yep.
I wanted to say, but privatizing our intelligence, you know, that's been going on since, you know, way back when, and World War II and Korea. We used to have TRW. That was one of those companies that gathered a ton of banking and credit reports, intelligence, and collated all that. The RAND Corporation, which Robert McNamara actually came out of. But not only did they work that data, they also messaged, and they did polling, and they manipulated data so that the Vietnam War would go on longer, which mm-hmm. is what, you know, the Pentagon papers were all about.
Yeah.
And, you know, when private corporations got their hands on this part of doing this kind of storage, they're not really going to give that up easy.
Yeah, yeah.
We can do all the exposure. I sometimes think Glenn Greenwald and Assange are working for the right wing corporations more.
No, I don't know about that.
And the reason I say that, now give me a chance.
Okay.
I say that with a certain tongue in cheek. The reason I say that is because they've already told us things that we know have been happening for a long time. There really isn't a lot of brand new stuff. And the things that are getting out are very distracting from other things. And I do agree with that one caller. We can shoot ourselves in the foot in this next off-year election. And we'll have even more Republicans in there.
Yeah.
I know the Democrats do take money from these corporations. I am always curious as to what percentage of their funds go there. Is it a ton of money and they're totally in their clutches, or is it just because those corporations spread their money around like manure, everybody gets
some? Well, yeah, I think that's closer to it.
Well, they spread it around like manure depending on who sits on what committee.
Right. Matt in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Matt. Hello, Matt. Matt going once, going twice. Mark in Delaware. Hello, Mark.
Hi,
go ahead.
Hey, I wonder if anybody caught Priebus this weekend on CNN. He was being challenged about why the Republicans aren't united on defeating Obamacare, and he said that it was a tactical split and that we should be focusing more on why there's 30 Democrats who don't like Obamacare. And
yeah.
I really couldn't follow what that was all about.
What?
I tuned in that interview in mid-wine, Jim, mid-Reince Priebus, which is not good during a...
It's not the good kind of wine either.
Republicans are the ones that are united on repealing Obamacare. Democrats are...
I thought you were talking about mid-wine at 8
yes.
in the morning on a Sunday.
No, it was a different kind of wine.
Okay.
It was a hangover from the other kind of wine.
I see.
And it was not a good time to tune into that kind of wine.
Okay.
Kevin in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
I'm an independent person. I don't really
right.
vote.
You like to listen to both sides?
Where I think is doing the best job, but I'm listening on the news about the health care bill, about how Congress is going to exempt themselves
yeah.
from this.
Right.
Brain
drain. That's incorrect. Yeah, that's incorrect.
And you guarantee me that this is not going to happen?
Yes, I can. Jackie debunked that point last week, as you recall, Jim. Healthcare for Obamacare is so great. How come people on Capitol Hill don't want it? Okay. I believe Jackie explained that whole thing last week. I think someone has Obama derangement syndrome.
Benghazi.
We all live our lives and take our ability to understand reality
there
for granted.
Is, backing up to Oprah.
Meet Skeeter.
He's a liar in chief.
While the rest of us are told not to text and drive,
Fast and Furious.
Skeeter struggles with basic motor skills.
You know who else had background checks?
Skeeter has
Hitler.
Obama derangement syndrome.
I have to play that beat up on Hillary thing.
Many people thought a cure was near in 2012.
I'll be over here standing my ground.
But the Skeeters of the world remind us we have so far to go.
Teachers should have 50 caliber machine guns.
Do your part now by texting "read a friggin' book"
I like the picture.
To any Yahoo News comment.
Stephanie Miller's a race trainer.
Together, we can help the Skeeters of the world find their way out of their bubble.
Gravity's a hoax.
And into our solar system.
Al Jazeera has a big house.
Help save a Skeeter from hurting himself.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, did you see Harry Reid is under fire for saying he hopes GOP hatred of Obama is not because of racism? But it goes to what Cindy in Michigan just said. When you ask people about all the provisions of Obamacare, they like them. They're like, well, why are you against it? Obama.
Mm-hmm.
What? They just hate it, and I don't know whether it's racism, but it's hilarious how they went crazy. Harry Reid was on a radio station on Friday. He's talking about the unprecedented
right.
obstructionism from Republicans in Congress. In response to callers' questions about conservatives hoping for Obama's failure, Reid brought up Mitch McConnell's one-term, for Obama pledge and said of Republicans opposing practically everything Obama does, I hope it's based on substance and not on the fact that he's an African-American. Reid was quickly and roundly condemned, spokesman for the Republican blah, blah, blah. It's offensive and insane. It's offensive and insane that anyone would imply there's been any sort of racism regarding...
They seem to have got really defensive really quick.
Oh, like, looky here. Just a couple of stories from the weekend. Via Reuters, here's a woman outside Obama's motorcade with the Kenyan Go Home sign.
Yep.
And also a honk to impeach Obama. Oh, and then there's the Missouri State Fair. Did you hear about that this weekend?
Oh, yes.
The rodeo clown was wearing an Obama mask. There's the lovely picture. Kansas City, Missouri. Here it is. A clown wearing a President Obama mask appeared at a Missouri State Rodeo this weekend, and the announcer asked the enthusiastic spectators if they wanted to see Obama run down by a bull.
Nice.
To which there were apparently everybody screamed and went wild. Lieutenant Governor Pete Kinder denounced the performance in a tweet. He said it was disrespectful to the president. We are better than this, the Republican tweeted. No, actually, clearly you're not. A spectator there said everybody screamed and went wild when the announcer talked about having the bull run down the clown with the Obama mask. He said another clown ran up to the one wearing the Obama mask, pretended to tickle him, and played with the lips on the mask. Get it? Because
wow.
The lips are... Right. They mentioned the president's name. He said, I don't know, 100 times. It was sickening. It was feeling like some kind of Klan rally you'd see on TV. So that happened.
When you have to scold your constituency to not be racist, you have a problem in your mind.
Yeah.
Just saying. Roger in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Roger.
Hey, how you doing,
Good.
Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah. I love your show, and listening to Jackie because I'm an insurance agent here in Michigan, and I do learn a lot from Jackie. Just wanted to say I had attended a meeting where there were a couple of the top healthcare providers here in Michigan were present, a couple of spokespeople. And a number of the agents, most of the agents are not happy with the new healthcare act. They think it's going to raise the cost and all this other stuff. Anyway, one of the providers, the spokesperson said he basically was kind of feeding into it. Not much. It was just mainly the other agents and the top guy who was at the meeting who was really getting into it. But then the other healthcare provider, the spokesperson, who was representing a company that has already been working with some of the provisions in the Affordable Care Act, he got up there and he was totally jazzed about it, told us how great it was going to be, how it was going to bring down costs, and it was not something that, we should really be fearful of. And you should have heard the hush. Well, you should have seen the hush that fell over the room. And then one of the top guys who was really bashing Obama and the Health Care Act got up and talked about, oh, this is great and this is going to be fantastic. But I just wanted to mention that I think it's going to be a great thing as an insurance agent, and that I think it's going to work out really well for people, and they shouldn't be fearful of it.
All right, honey. Thank you. Appreciate it. Jim, Sarah Palin spoke this weekend, so there is comedy. she's Chris Christie's got to be thrilled about this. She's on Team Rand.
Mm-hmm.
Former.
You go with that.
Whatever.
Great idea.
The quitter from Twitter. Sarah Palin said she sided with Rand Paul in the ongoing feud between the Kentucky senator and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. She was on Fox News. Jim, I can only get it if you read it. I can only, because it's a lot of, you know, Palinese. Hmm. Okay, here are her thoughts.
I am on Team Rand. Rand Paul understands. He got the whole notion dual trade on me government, whereas Chris Christie is for big government and trying to go along to get along in so many respects. And, you know, some people look at him as a man. He's a governor who goes rogue. No, you know, he's got a shit going there where he's got a YouTube videographer following him around. Kind of these set-up situations sometimes. So he can be seen as perhaps going rogue. But Chris Christie's former government, as Rick approves that, or as Rand Paul, with that healthy libertarian strength that we need more of in our politicians. Team Rand Paul!
Okay, thanks. See, it's more palatable, Jim.
Barely. Barely.
Sense, you know?
No.
Yeah, that's an actual sentence. And you know, some people look at him as, ah, man, he's a governor who goes rogue.
In so okay. Did she say in so many respects?
My.
Yes. Yes. In what respect, Charlie? I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. He's.
In what respect, Charlie?
In so many respects.
Right.
Well, you know, all the respects.
I'm on Team Rand. Rand Paul understands. He gets the whole notion of the don't try to make government, whereas Chris Christie is running government, trying to go along to get along in so many respects. In that respect, Charlie. Maybe that's what she's finally getting
respect,
back.
In what respect, Charlie?
I can't
finally
tell
getting
you how many respects, because there's so many respects out there. There's too many to count.
Oh, dear God. She is...
You are an idiot!
The quitter from Wasilla.
Oh, boy. Okay. 45 minutes after the hour. Chris Christie, thrilled. I'm sure thrilled with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, thrilled.
Yeah, Rand Paul is great. The Damien. He's the Damien of
sure.
The Omen.
Bring it on.
Of the Republican Party. It's all for you, Rand.
Well, by the time they got around to the Omen Part 3, Damien was running for president.
There you go.
So there you go.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Come on, it's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those came from faster lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they did it with expert timing.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. Kathy in Oklahoma. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Steph.
Hi,
oh,
welcome.
My goodness. Oh, I've got a dog on my lap right now trying to distract me. Oh,
come on.
I was just concerned about this attitude of the employers about being afraid of paying health care insurance money under Obamacare.
Right.
Were they never on the other side of the equation, having to be the worker that needed the health care? Or is it a mentality where, like, well, no one ever provided it for me when I was coming up, and I'm a success, so they shouldn't have to worry about it either. I shouldn't have to take care of their health care. No one did mine. It's a terrible, it's like a cycle of abuse, like
yeah.
When about being kicked around by his dad, and he goes, well, it never hurt me none, so I'm going to kick my kids around, too.
Yeah,
it's
well,
just...
yeah, Jackie has said it over and over again, but, I mean, you know, employers used to want to give health insurance so they can get and keep good employees, but anyway... all right. By the way, you were Jackie was mentioning, excuse me, at the top of last hour about Putin, I believe, and I think it was who is it? Dick Durbin was saying, or no, Chuck Schumer was saying, don't boycott the Olympics, but everyone should wave a rainbow flag.
Sure.
I love that idea. Somebody had tweeted over the weekend, gotta love the Dutch. Amsterdam marks Putin's visit by flying gay pride flags on all the city's buildings. Ray. Look what someone did at the pedestrian crossing outside the Russian embassy in Stockholm. They made it a rainbow.
Rainbow crosswalk.
Oh, look, we accidentally started nuclear strike against Holland and Sweden. Oops.
He's just going to have my rainbows bed. Following him everywhere.
And Johnny Weir over the weekend said that he is prepared to go to the Winter Olympics in Russia and get arrested.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So.
Let's see. Gay people's hearts unsuitable for life, says head of Russia's state-controlled TV news. Since 2008, Dmitry Kislyev, that guy.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah. Has been the deputy general director of the Russian state television.
Oh, he's bad.
Right.
I mean.
Right. On Russia's number one top news show, which airs all across Russia every 2 hours, he told his fellow Russian citizens that the hearts of LGBT people are unsuitable for life.
Oh.
He said, I think just imposing fines on gays for homosexual propaganda among teenagers is not enough. He continues saying gay people should be banned from donating blood, sperm, adds that in their hearts, in the case of an automobile accident, should be buried in the ground or burned as unsuitable for the continuation of life.
Wow.
So he means their actual hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Apparently, he believes that his fellow Russians should actually die than accept a heart transplant from a gay or a lesbian or transgender human being. Russia One is part of a larger TV network that is wholly controlled by the Kremlin. And they were saying this wouldn't happen on state television without Putin's approval.
Wow.
Hmm.
Huh.
Things are getting really backwards.
I wonder if
there.
You'd like to test that theory if you were in an accident and the only option was to have a gay person's organ.
And a gay doctor doing the
right.
doing the transplant.
I wonder if that would, lend itself to an attitude change of some kind. Okay.
Wakes up from the anesthesia. Hey.
Hi. Hey,
what
girl.
What happened?
Hey, girl.
Someone gave me a gay heart. And not Rebecca gay heart, which is much better.
The president on his relationship with Putin.
I don't have a bad personal relationship with Putin. When we have conversations, they're candid, they're blunt. Oftentimes they're constructive. I know the press likes to focus on body language, and he's got that kind of slouch, looking like the bored kid in the back of the classroom. But the truth is that when we're in conversations together, oftentimes it's very productive.
Right. By the way, you know what's not productive? Fox News in any way. Fox News suggests Obama only wants gay U.S. Olympic athletes. What? Leave it to them to take something he said and make it,
Yeah.
He said, I do not think it's appropriate to boycott the Olympics over the, the Russian anti-gay laws. The president also said he's personally looking forward to some American gay and lesbian athletes bringing home the gold or silver or bronze. President Obama told the room full of reporters, if Russia doesn't have gay or lesbian athletes, it probably will make their team weaker. So, of course, lead it to Todd Starnes, Fox News.
Oh, him.
Yeah.
Fox News contributor.
Obama wants all gay people.
Right. He tweeted, Obama wants gay athletes to win medals. It sounds like the president is suggesting a litmus test for membership on the U.S. Olympic team. Right. That's exactly what the president said. Starnes, of course, implying President Obama only wants gay Olympic athletes, which is ludicrous on its face. There are some fun facts. For the record, LGBT Olympic athletes in 2012 won 11 medals in total. 7 gold, 1 silver, 2 bronze. Starnes said, why can't President Obama support all our Olympic athletes, regardless of who they choose to love, regardless of their sexual orientation? Oh, God.
That's our gay fun facts music.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Oh, would you like some more Fox anti-gay stuff, just for the heck of it? Fox News contributor Sandy Rios. Her.
Yes. I think you have debated her at some
sadly,
point.
Sadly, I think I have.
Yeah.
I may have tried to erase that from my memory.
I think you pulled out her weave.
Right. I did not pull out her weave. She and Chicago pastor Irwin Lutzer agreed on Rios' American Family Association radio show. That love is
How
no
did
reason.
I miss that?
Love is no reason to allow gay couples to get married. After all, pedophiles, kidnappers, and even rapists probably love their victims.
Sure.
For all we know. A pedophile, I'm sure, says that he loves children. As a matter of fact, he does, but you can see how destructive that love is, said the pastor guy. Rios took it a step further. Of course she did.
Of course she did.
Comparing the love between same-sex couples to the love Ariel Castro probably had for Amanda Berry, Gina DeJesus, and Michelle Knight.
Wow.
She said his defense was that he loved his family, loved his child that was born one of the rapes he did of the women he loved and couldn't understand. He said, I'm not a monster. So that was her particular edition of really bad analogy. Okay. Would you like to know what else is out there on the fringe?
Sure.
Representative Ted Yoho, that guy, who is a bit of a yahoo of Florida.
Yoho the yahoo.
More than eager to throw his support behind the proposed birther legislation, he's also on board with the fun new accusation that President Obama's tax on tanning beds is, wait for it, racist.
Because he hates white people. Discriminatory against white people?
He hates white people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
White people who want to be browner.
Right.
He hates them.
Wake up, white people. All right. I've got a new guy in the right-wing fringe, Representative Mark Wayne Mullen.
Mark Wayne is one word.
Right.
Mark Wayne.
Mark
right.
Wayne.
Right. I think that tells you all you need to know. Some of his thoughts.
Wait to hear what he has to say.
As we continue. 58 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Marcus in Charlotte, North Carolina, sends me an e-card. It's no longer box wine. The classy term is Card Bordeaux. Thank you. I appreciate that. I feel much better about myself. Oh, here's one. A drunk stack meets future husband stack. A police say University of Iowa student who was arrested on suspicion of public intoxication told authorities he had a good reason for being drunk. He said, of course I'm drunk. It's Thursday night in Iowa City.
That's a man after your own heart.
Okay. This is kind of drunk stack meets perv stack, Jim. Something for all of us. Florida cop has female drunk driver punch him in the...
Yeah. Okay. All right. Whatever
I guess
floats
he likes,
your boat.
Likes that sort of thing. Hmm. Prosecutors in where else?
Florida.
Yeah. Are going after a police officer after he had a female drunken driver punch him in the genitals during a traffic stop. Officer Frank and Hartley stopped two female drivers after they had left a Vegas strip club. He threatened the two women with arrest, directed them to a nearby parking lot where another officer met them. Hartley ordered one of the women to have intercourse with him while Miranda, the other one, made a simple request of the other woman to punch him in the... Officer Miranda asked the victim, name withheld, to punch him in the nuts, meaning genital area.
The nads.
Officer Hartley encouraged the act by telling the puncher, Tom really enjoys this.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
That's a thing.
And another Florida news.
Wow, yes.
Woman in Starbucks drops purse with forgotten gun inside, shoots friend in the leg. Of course, in Florida.
Yes. Jim said her purse was standing its ground.
Yes.
So, good. All right, speaking of annoying stories, I actually had to have Jim read the Sarah Palin transcript on the fact that she's Team Rand.
Team Rand.
Because, you know, sometimes Governor Christie says he's going rogue or something, but he's not exactly going rogue because, I don't know, whatever. I can't remember all the words, salad. It's just too much.
The story of America. By the time the pilgrims came over on the Mayflower and invented moving and storage... Everyone knew that America would be special, but then the king exfoliated tyranny and everyone's tea was texied and Sam Adams saw an opportunity to sell beer and told Paul Revere and the Raiders to tell everyone the British were coming. But Jiminy Crockett and David Bowie fought bravely and defended the Alamo against Hertz and Avis. Now our freedoms are threatened by the tyranny of people who think they're better than you just because they can spell correctly and don't use all caps. They're everywhere and hold little regard for those of us rugged individuals who aren't fettered by barbed wire fences or the full length of their terms. America is truly a land of opportunity. And with your help, we can make sure our children have the same rights to obesity, rabid ignorance, semi-automatic rifles, and mediocre reality TV that we have. God bless everyone.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. All right. What's more annoying than that? Well, probably only turtle sex that involves Dana Loesch, Cody the Screaming Dog, and Barry White.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
Oh, baby. Oh,
no.
Now it's a party.
Not until Cody.
Not until Cody gets there.
Oh, Is that the cop who likes getting punched in the neck?
Yes.
Hi, Dana Loesch.
All right. Dana
Loesch is punching.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. That is weird. All right, I don't mean to imply that any guy with the two first names as a first name is an idiot. I'm just saying, Mark Wayne Mullen.
Mark Wayne. Or Mark
right.
Quayne.
Representative Mark Wayne Mullen, Republican of Oklahoma, has come out of the closet as a birther. Unfortunately, while he believes all viable evidence proves Barack Obama was born in Kenya and forged his birth certificate so he could run for president, he's afraid it's a little too late to do anything about it. This was at a town hall. He said, I think Orly Tates was probably there, the birther, whoever,
yeah.
asking him to do whatever.
Your friend.
Yeah, right. He said, I believe what you're saying, and I don't support this president whatsoever, but man, we lost November 6th. We had the opportunity to get another president in there, and let's move on to some other issues. I believe it's still there, but my God, if we couldn't prove it in the first 4 years, what do you think the chances are now? So it's true, but he just can't.
Can't do anything about it.
He was born in Honolulu. I'm looking
but
at
wait,
a copy
there more.
Of the certificate of live birth.
There's more. He believes physically fit people with food stamps is proof of fraud.
Right. Yes.
He said he saw a really physically fit couple using food stamps to buy groceries, and that was it. Fraud, he declared. Absolutely 100% of it. All is fraud. It's all over the place.
So only fat people can get food stamps?
Apparently, yes. Huh. Because I thought, but don't they usually use the argument that how can you be starving if you're fat?
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, Mark Wayne.
He's adorbs.
Do you think it was an argument between the parents whether to name him Mark or Wayne, and they just...
Yeah. That
okay.
was the...
Let's just go
That was
it.
Their conflict resolution.
Casey in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Casey.
Hello.
Let me
get you off the speaker.
Pardon me?
I need to get you off the speaker.
Okay, thank you.
What I wanted to speak to was the fact that the Fourth Amendment applies to when you have an expectation of privacy.
Right.
And since the beginning of the Internet, they've said that you have no expectation of privacy. And also, when cell phones first started, they said they're radio waves and you have no expectation of privacy there either.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I've often said, that I think, you know, a lot of this is technology has outpaced, you know, where we used to be on these issues. By the way, Senator John McCain talking about Russia and Putin. Senator
Mr.
John
Snowden's being granted asylum in Russia is a signal of incredibly bad relations between the United States and Russia, and Mr. Putin putting his thumb right in America's eye.
Why?
Look!
Why don't we just do this? Why don't we just put our hand up between our eyes?
That was not my thumb.
Billy in Texas, long time no talking point. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi, Billy.
Well, how you doing there?
Good,
Stephanie?
Good.
Listen, I wanted to call this morning. I've been listening. Mm-hmm. I used to administer employee benefit plans, and I can tell you firsthand, there's no more chicken outfit in the world than an insurance company. Mm-hmm. They're heartless. They're all about the money, and I get that. And it's gotten worse through the years. Mm-hmm. The problem that I have with Obamacare is if you think that insurance companies are heartless, wait till the federal government starts running this.
The federal government is not running it.
All they're doing is putting together a marketplace where private insurance companies can compete for your money.
Well, they can compete for my money right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Don't you think insurance companies are already operating as death panels? Aren't they the ones that decide now whether what they'll cover or what they won't?
Well, that's the point. Y'all could put, I mean, we could, instead of doing Obamacare, we could put laws in place. There are already laws against discriminating for pre-existing condition. That's already on the books.
And not before Obamacare, it wasn't. Not before Obamacare, it wasn't.
Obamacare.
Oh, for God's sakes. He's just going to blah, blah, blah over me. Mm-hmm. Try again later on Tom Hartman or Ed Schultz. Okay. His contract says as long as he gets through on any of our shows, I'm
that's
sure
true.
He still gets his check.
Does he get paid by the word?
Probably.
Yeah.
Listen, if you have the stamina, hang on for Randy Rhodes. It's all right. Okay. Eric Cantor signals to GOP colleagues they should STFU about a government shutdown.
Dude, don't stop talking about the government shutdown. It's not helping.
I don't think he used the term STFU.
Eric Cantor said no one is advocating a government shutdown.
Yeah.
Your party kind of is.
Yeah, your defund Obamacare will shut down the government caucus kind of is.
You're making me even bitch face here.
They are. They're making Eric Cantor even bitch face here. It's... Okay. Wow, guess who's getting an early start on 2016? Ted Cruz.
But he can't even run for president because he wasn't born in America.
Right.
Even I was born in Canada and I have a really high voice. What? And then look, I'm
Joe
McCarthy.
What is he doing?
I'm being discriminated against.
He's already winning over Iowans more than 2 years before the caucuses. He claims he was in Iowa to escape the August heat in Texas. Oh, my goodness. He's the starting out of the lying sack. He gave a campaign stump speech to the crowd of social conservatives in Ames, Iowa for the Family Leader Conference on Saturday. Cruz nominally framed his remarks around the effort to defund Obamacare by shutting down the blob. He cited the need for a grassroots army of millions of Americans to rise up to stop Obamacare and tried to build its ranks by having attendees share their phone number with him via text message. Unless he has an Anthony Weiner problem. That seems a little...
He can't be president.
That's what Donald Trump says. At least he's being consistent. Donald Trump spoke to ABC's Jonathan Carl yesterday morning, reignited the birther issue, of course.
I would see his birth certificate.
Requesting legitimacy of Barack Obama's birth certificate. Again. Was there a birth certificate, Trump asked? You tell me. Some people say that was not his birth certificate.
I'm saying
I don't know. Nobody knows. And you don't know either, Jonathan. You're a smart guy and you don't know either. I'm pretty convinced he was born in the U.S., Carl said. Ah, pretty convinced, Trump said, rolling over Carl's objections that he was 100% sure. Pretty sure is not acceptable. Carl then asked Trump if the Canadian-born Cruz was eligible for office. He said if he was born in Canada, then perhaps not. That will be ironed out. I don't know the circumstances. If he says he was born in Canada, that's his thing. Yeah, that would mean...
Computer says no.
He can't be president.
Right. Wouldn't it?
Sure.
Why is that different? Because he's white? I don't understand why there's no...
That's his thing.
His mother is an American citizen, but he was born in Canada. Isn't that the whole thing they're saying that they're claiming... Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, John McCain, he was born in the canal zone of Panama, which was U.S. soil. So he was eligible to run for president.
Huh. What could it be? What could it be about President Obama that's so... As one Republican congressman called him exotic. He's so exotic. Okay. All right. Speaking of racism or not, the Oprah story. I talked about it on CNN Friday. We will discuss.
How about that?
Yeah. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, Jennifer in Fresno. Hey, Jen.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I need to respond to our Dr. Imaginary and Billy.
Yes.
First, for the doctor, the patients are going to be paying for those added premiums. It's not the insurance company being nice. If you're going to be covering a child up till age 26, you're still going to be paying either that family benefit or the employee and child benefit. So guess what? You're paying for it.
Yep.
And as for Billy, with his, the government's going to run this and that, I actually am working on the exchanges for an insurance company.
Uh-huh.
And that's not true at all. What we're doing is exactly what Chris said. It's a marketplace. We're still going to be administering the plans, and even if he wants to say, but the federal government's involved, even if we want to look at the federal employee plans like TRICARE, those are going to still be administered by insurance companies. That's mm-hmm. the exact same thing that we would see with the exchanges. The government's not taking over, and to be honest, I'd kind of rather they did.
Yeah,
honestly, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. All right. Another Billy was wrong call. They're so rare. Mary in Tennessee. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
Billy isn't, I won't say it.
Okay.
But as for the pre-existing, That is only going to into effect with Obamacare. Pre-existing conditions were never covered. That's why we had COBRA.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was an easy one. I think anyone anyone in their right mind knows that's been a huge issue that insurance companies could
I have two. I have two grandchildren with pre-existing conditions. One has asthma and the other one has peanut allergies. They would never have been covered by insurance.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, well.
Yeah, hello, Billy.
That,
hello.
That terrible story about that teenage girl who died because of her peanut allergy. She ate something, didn't have peanuts, and then died in her father's arms.
Anita San Antonio. Hi, Anita. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi,
Hi,
go
panel.
Ahead. Hi, panel.
I just want to clarify something about the Ted Cruz thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ted Cruz is a naturalized citizen. His mother, because his mother was an American citizen, even though she was in Canada and he was born in Canada, because he was a naturalized, he's a naturalized citizen.
No, he's not a the Constitution says you must be a natural born citizen.
No.
Yes, it does.
No.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. No, go look at the Constitution.
I'm looking at it right now.
No. A naturalized citizen, definition of a naturalized citizen is a person born
citizen.
No, actually, courts have never determined the definition of a natural born citizen. But natural born citizen is different than a naturalized citizen, which is someone who takes an oath, coming in from another country.
No. Naturalized citizen is a citizen born by a citizen. Okay, let me give you an example. Okay, what's his name? Romney's father. Romney's father was born in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He ran for president. Nobody ever brought that up because he was born American citizen.
But Mitt Romney was born in America, which makes him a natural born citizen.
No. His father ran for president.
Oh, his father. Oh. Yeah, Mitt Romney's father, George Romney, ran. Right. Yeah. That's what I mean. These are interesting issues, I gotta say.
Right.
Because
the courts have never determined the definition of a natural born citizen. So whether the mother is a citizen or not has never been determined by the court. So if that should happen, it's going to have to go to the Supreme Court.
Right. It's so weird, Jim. What could it be that it's been like a whole industry around the president's birth certificate, a birther industry? Or what could it be?
I can't imagine.
Look at the difference. Be.
He's a space alien from another planet.
Everybody's talking about this Oprah story. It was on CNN Friday talking about this. She claimed an incident of racism in Switzerland.
Switzerland,
right?
Like the third most expensive shopping street in the world.
Right. A couple of things I took from this. Number one, I'm like, you can buy a purse for $35,000, really? And number two, they never got Oprah in Switzerland. Who doesn't know who Oprah is? Anyway, the guy wouldn't sell her this bag. Cause
I think the only purse worth $35,000 is a purse with $35,000 in it.
Right. Exactly. Right. That would be my only question. Is there, in fact, $35,000 in cash in this purse? No?
Computer says no.
Then that would not be worth it.
Is there any amount of workmanship that's worth $35,000 for a purse?
So the manager of the shop in Zurich said it was a 200% misunderstanding. Mrs. Oprah, well, first of all, I'm not even
Mrs.
She's
Oprah,
married.
She's not married.
Came in and she was looking at the Jennifer Aniston handbag. My saleswoman told her about the bag, that it was the latest It bag from Tom Ford. It was made from crocodile skin. Mrs. Oprah asked how much it was, and the sales assistant said $38,000.
The Jennifer Aniston handbag sounds like something you get at Kmart. From the Jennifer Aniston collection.
First of all, couldn't Oprah just get one from
Jennifer Aniston?
Who's a friend of her?
A friend.
Okay.
Not Kmart. Target.
Because Mrs. Oprah said she just wanted to look at the bag, she didn't want to take it down. Because my sales assistant felt a little embarrassed about the price, she quickly said that she also had the model in other materials such as ostrich and suede, which weren't so expensive. Everyone knows that. You can get the much less expensive one in ostrich.
What?
Okay. That was the misunderstanding. It was a normal selling discussion and a classic misunderstanding. Mrs. Oprah got the impression that she didn't want to sell the bag to her because she wanted to show her other bags. This had nothing whatsoever to do with racism. And then my favorite part is he didn't just do the obligatory, I'm not racist, I have a black best friend.
Right.
He did the giant name drop. In addition, he said, Tina Turner is my best friend.
Oh.
I was at her wedding just like Oprah. So this has nothing to do with race. Come on, you got to say that is a giant name drop in the middle of your I Have a Black Best Friend. Yeah, you got to give up to him. All right, that all being said, I believe Oprah. And it goes to the president's point that many black people in this country have experienced incidents like this a lot. And so it puts it in that context.
This country and Zurich.
There you go. 28 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Your chest is crazy. Definitely send me your resume.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Michael in New York. Hey, Michael.
Hey there, sexy liberal mama.
Hello.
Hey, you know, I am so sick and tired of all this racism crap that the right-wingers are imposing. We hear it, we've seen it so many times with the birtherism against President Obama, and now we're seeing it with Oprah. First with President Obama, since they want to keep saying, show us your birth certificate, you know, I can play the same game with Republicans. How do we know what the past Republican presidents that they weren't, how do we know whether or not they were American citizens? For all you know, they could have been Canadian, they could have been Scottish, they could have been Swedish. You know, oh, they were white, so they look American. As far as Oprah goes, as far as Oprah goes, she is right on target because I have done retail in the past. I worked in the supermarket. If a customer asks if they can see something, regardless of what item it is, you show it to them. Then they ask you how much it is. You give them the price. It's up to the customer whether or not they can afford something, not you. And everybody knows damn well you wouldn't do that to any white customer. Why the hell would you do it to a black customer?
I bet you, you know the great part about it, Michael? Oprah is probably going to get even by buying Switzerland. Probably she already owns it, don't you think?
Probably owns it. I mean, all in all, she just should lay a big smackdown on their racist asses.
There you go. There you go.
Oprah
has just bought Switzerland.
She could. She's taking the high road here.
Exactly.
She's upset, but she's not suing anybody or anything.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, cue Fox News' Obama vacation freakout. He's begun his vacation on Martha's Vineyard on Saturday. Bo also is going, just so you know.
The Portuguese water dog?
Right, exactly. I had a shirt with a Portuguese martini dog the other day, people pointed out. Obama is scheduled to remain in the island for a week. A week! Oh, my God! With everything that's going on. Okay.
Didn't George W. Bush vacate the premises for 2 months at a time?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Texas governors, Texas clarifies that it discriminates against Democratic voters, not minorities. So that was... State of Texas has a pretty amusing response to Eric Holder's claims that the state's redistricting plan discriminated against minority voters. They actually wrote DOJ's accusations of racial discrimination are baseless. In 2011, both houses of the Texas legislature were controlled by large Republican majorities, and their redistricting decisions were designed to increase the Republican Party's electoral prospects at the expense of Democrats. An election law expert posted that sentence on the blog, Only in America. They pretty much admit, they're only discriminating against minorities because they vote the wrong way, is what they're saying.
Ah, okay.
Right.
By the way, speaking of Eric Holder, Attorney General Eric Holder will announce in a speech today the Department of Justice will no longer charge low-level nonviolent drug offenders with crimes that trigger mandatory minimum sentences, a major shift in American drug policy. Hooray. Obama, it's an indication the president wants to reduce the number of Americans who serve long prison sentences over drug crimes and rethink American laws that have existed for decades. The mandatory minimum change likely to delight both liberal activists and African-American groups that have long argued that required sentences lead to huge growth in the number of blacks in prison. And nobody can say that sentencing laws are fair because
they're
not racist. All right. By the way, how about this one, Jim? One of your favorites. Children given a lifelong ban on talking about fracking.
Two
young children in Pennsylvania were banned from talking about fracking.
How is that constitutional?
Yeah, and how is that possible? even, they're like seven. How are you going to, really, for the rest of their life?
You can put him in prison for talking about fracking?
They've been banned from talking about fracking YouTube for the rest of their lives under a gag order imposed under a settlement reached with their parents with a leading oil and gas company.
Wow.
The sweeping gag order was imposed over a $750,000 settlement between the Halowich family and Range Resources Corp. The settlement barred the Halowich's son and daughter, who were then aged 10 and 7, from ever discussing fracking. Or the
That's
Marcellus.
Insane. Yeah. And blatantly unconstitutional.
That is unconstitutional.
Right. Because, you know, they...
But they're oil companies, so they're running the show.
They did it to get the settlement to get their kids out of there. So they, you know, because they were having obviously a host of health problems.
God,
and
that's
the
horrifying.
Only way they'd have the money to get out of there, right, to move away from this area is to, you know...
That's horrifying.
You can't talk about all the ways that we're poisoning the groundwater.
Right. Even the parents were like, well, we can tell them not to, but they're... Seven. How, like, in the playground or whatever? How are you going to control?
Drone strike.
Yeah.
That's on. They'll get him.
Exactly. What? Okay, Gail in Massachusetts. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gail.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. This is in reference to the person that called up about naturalized citizens.
Right.
As opposed to natural-born citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, in the Constitution it says natural-born, but my son was born abroad. And when you register him at the U.S. embassies, you get a birth certificate that says U.S. citizen, born abroad.
Yeah, my nephew has it.
You are born as a citizen. So that kind of makes you a natural-born citizen.
Right,
and probably eligible, like Ted Cruz. He was not naturalized. His mother was an American citizen.
Right, but did she get that paper from the consulate or the embassy? Do we know that?
Well, that I don't know.
Yeah, so that needs to be answered.
Right. I'm sure Orly Tates will be all over
that. Oh, sure.
Yeah, she'll be on that. Annie in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Annie.
Hi. I'm calling regarding the previous caller about the natural-born citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that totally debunk the whole birther scenario? Because wasn't Obama's mother born in Hawaii? Wasn't she a natural-born citizen then?
No, she was born in Kansas.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay.
Well,
never mind.
Yeah, regardless, you know, Hawaii is a state and was a U.S. territory at the time of...
All right. Thank you for calling, Emily Latella. Beth in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Beth.
Hi, I'm calling about this naturalized, natural-born citizen business also.
Okay.
And it's not just the fact that you have a U.S. citizen parent. That by itself isn't enough.
Right.
Or even necessarily registering. There are some other steps. And Chris is right as far as that may be natural born, but, you know, it hasn't really, there's not a consensus on that yet, and it hasn't been tested.
Right.
But we may see with this.
Yeah. Let's hope so.
It needs to be, it should be answered.
Because who wouldn't want the food critic from Ratatouille to be president? I speak of the rat-faced Ted Cruz, of course.
Yes.
Hey, Jim, you did a dumb gun story this morning. Here's another one. 61-year-old man expected to be charged with murder in connection with the shooting death of a Chicago man nearly 40 years younger over a traffic dispute. The victim, a 23-year-old man, encountered the unidentified man in Indiana on Thursday. The man cut Moss off on the road twice, prompting him to respond by throwing a glass of water on the man's vehicle. The victim's family members told WGN the man then pulled out a 9mm handgun and shot Moss. Moss's girlfriend and their three children were in the car with him at the time. Were not injured. So that's how people are... solving disputes now.
Standing their ground.
Yes.
Threw water at me? You're dead.
Right, America. Yeah. All right. Jimmy in Vegas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I'm calling regarding the Affordable Care Act you were discussing earlier.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to say, as a citizen, the main problem that I have with it is that I don't let the government force me to buy anything. And,
okay. Why do you let the government force you to buy car insurance?
Because the government does not force me to drive. So I want to get
all right, you have a crappy phone.
The government should force you to get a better phone.
And a crappy talking point. The government should force them to get a better phone.
Yeah.
At least you're going to go around calling talk radio shows.
Yeah, you know, I had a traffic incident in Lower Wacker once. I threw a bag of Vipers in the guy's car.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was the end of that.
Right.
This wasn't a bag of glass.
Unless you got a bag of glass that you can fight back with. You're screwed. Wow. How did you spend the entire weekend like I did watching people from Idaho talk about?
No. I'm making a point.
Ranchers from Idaho that found the guy, that the California abductor, and then thank God she's all right.
She's all right.
Yes. Yeah.
The other guy, the guy who did it, not so much. but she's fine.
Right. Horseback riders who triggered a search that led to the rescue of a California teen said Sunday they became suspicious because she and her suspected abductor had new gear and appeared ill-equipped for the Idaho wilderness. I also learned another thing. They're very good on, you know, helping here, but the grammar, not so much.
Computer says no.
The two were not especially friendly and appeared out of place in Idaho's rugged backcountry, like a square peg going in a round pole. Hole.
Square peg. Those are two very, very different things,
right,
Stephanie.
Sorry. One of them was a retired sheriff. He was riding with his wife and another couple when they encountered the pair. Hannah Anderson, 16, was rescued, and her abductor was shot and killed by an FBI agent in the weekend rescue. It came after a two-day manhunt by law enforcement agents in the rugged mountains for DiMaggio, who was wanted in the killing of Anderson's mother and her brother, Ethan. John, the rancher and the retired, he was a rancher and a retired U.S. Army ranger, told a news conference he and his wife and the other couple discussed among themselves the oddness of the situation. The encounter with Anderson and DiMaggio raised red flags for them. The girl and the man were not eager to speak with them, and she appeared scared at times, though they were not sure if it was because of the horses. Another one of the riders said DiMaggio had set up a camp on an exposed ridge that had no water source and where they might have been battered by strong winds or struck by lightning or storm. He said he might have been an outdoorsman from California, but he was not an outdoorsman from Idaho, and he didn't fit. So that's why they alerted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. What?
No, I just outdoorsman from California has all these fancy camping equipment.
California GPS.
Prada shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Prada hiking boots.
Yeah, they kind of stick out like a sore thumb in the Idaho wilderness.
Anderson, her mother, and brother Leslie on August 3rd. This is a weird story. He was apparently a friend of the family, and yeah.
Yeah, they called him Uncle something.
Jim something.
Wow.
Yeah, he's suspected of setting the home on fire, and police found the bodies of the... Yeah. And it looks like she'd been hit with a crowbar. She died of blunt force trauma, so anyway. All right, horrible story. 45 minutes after the hour, right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, don't remind me. I was up all night partying with Gaga at the Abbey last night. 1-800. What is it?
Yeah, something on your teeth.
It's like a glow stick from last night.
Ew, sure. It's enamel. Ew, ick.
Okay. 1-800 STEPH12, the phone number.
She was at the Abbey last night and Facebook exploded.
Right. Right. I knew that when I woke up this morning since I went to bed.
At stupid o'clock.
Right. Thank you. All right. By the by, we were talking about the Oprah story. Eric Mulder on vacation this week. Yep. He will see him next week. But he tweeted, ugliness from Rush. Limbaugh doubts Oprah's racism claims. Maybe it's because she's fat.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't you love it when Rush talks about other people's physiques? I think that's awesome. Oh, by the way, Eric had a couple other great tweets about Wall Street Journal analysis of POTUS' second term ends with quote from GOP pollster saying Obama really needs to try to meet GOP in the middle. Hashtag parody.
Come on. A parody. Okay.
Parody, as in a joke. Right.
Right.
And then he tweets, imagine the Fox miniseries. Fox anchor Greg Jarrett says he doesn't know what Hillary Clinton's actually achieved in her life.
What? Way more than Greg Jarrett has.
Yeah, I guess to warrant a, you know.
And she probably laughed in his face.
Miniseries, right. Exactly.
And called him a turkey.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jim. All right. Thank you, Greg Jarrett.
Turkey?
Okay. By the way, interesting piece in the HuffPo. In attacking NBC's Hillary... movies or miniseries, whatever. Reince Priebus! Thank you. Lacks Ronald Reagan's confidence.
I don't really lack Ronald Reagan's confidence. Why would you think that?
Yes, he said that somebody wrote a piece. He should have asked, what would Ronald Reagan do? And I'd totally forgotten about this, although I'm old enough to remember. Mm-hmm. Reagan was faced with a very similar situation as he faced re-election, and he took the exact opposite of Reince Priebus's strategy.
Reince Priebus!
Thank you. Reagan's election in 1980 and his hardline reaction to Soviet moves in Afghanistan, Poland, and Central America saw a return of Cold War tensions as a result of widespread fear of nuclear war. Against that backdrop, ABC aired a made-for-TV movie called The Day After. Remember that with Jason Robards?
Of course.
Yeah, depicted the results of a nuclear strike on Kansas City. Many on the right criticized it as a call for capitulation to the Soviet Union. On the right, the film was widely viewed as implicit criticism of Reagan's approach to foreign policy.
Well, there I go again.
Right. Rather thinly veiled suggestion his policies could end in Armageddon. But President Reagan did not try to censor the film. In fact, he watched it several days later and was said to have been moved by its power.
I wish I'd been in it.
Less than a year after it aired, Ronald Reagan was elected in a landslide, yeah. Carrying 49 states. Yeah, the problem is Reince Priebus has nothing. All he has is that he's got nothing in terms of something to run on or win on, so of course he has to whine about it.
I can run on my good looks, my dynamic.
If you wake up with a hangover, I'm not saying who or anybody that I know, but just make sure that you do not turn on Reince Priebus on your television, because that was... Oh. Literally, I just tuned in right when he was like...
It's like audio ipecac.
It's not that the Republicans that are united on it.
The Republicans aren't united on a single thing. What is he talking about?
I don't know. And now, a story about a bear.
Of course.
Stupid bear. A black bear in search of a late-night snack broke into an Idaho...
Oh, because he's black, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. That was my point. Broke into a... See? Exactly. It's a crime story. Uh-huh. Broke into an Idaho house and licked leftover Chinese food from a cast iron pan on the stove.
Sure.
The Dave Edwards said when he went to investigate what his Irish setter lab mix was so upset about, he saw the bear on its hind legs paws on the stove licking a pan. Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, bear. I like Chinese food. An hour later, he wanted some more.
He knew.
That's more than a picnic basket.
Picnic basket? All right.
Edwards' wife, Sarah, had fallen asleep on the couch. He said, however, I couldn't tell her there was a bear in the house. In the house, because she would have just lost her mind. She gets very upset over spiders.
It's a little bigger than a spider.
Honey, wake up. Do not go in the kitchen.
We've had home invasion, simultaneous home invasion of a possum and a raccoon.
Oh.
Eating from the kitty dish. Wow, that's different.
Honey,
that's
do not go in the kitchen.
Odd-looking cat.
So we woke her up and let her into the bedroom without telling her about the, bear in the kitchen. Edwards,
the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And Edwards, the bear in the kitchen.
Right. Edwards went back into the kitchen to find the bear was gone and the pan was clean.
Nice.
Oh, he's a tiny bear. Who's a tiny bear? He probably didn't even tell her, like, you don't even have to wash the pan. It's clean now.
No. You got any fortune cookies?
He comes back. Bang, bang, bang. Hey, excuse me.
Hey.
Excuse me.
I'm hungry again. I need another picnic basket.
I forgot the fortune cookies.
The almond cookies.
Tony in Toledo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good.
The comment I wanted to make is you have to realize the average middle-class Republicans that vote, that's just the way they were raised. They think it's normal to ignore people in need. They think it's normal to lie and if it means, they're going to get their way. I mean, they don't see that a lot of this stuff is wrong and even at times, mentally disturbing, They just think all this stuff is normal. They think it's normal to buy guns and shoot at people and, they just don't see the sickness in it. They really don't.
Yeah. Well, by the by, this may be bad news, though. A story in the Atlantic. They may be losing their last demographic angry old white people.
Oh.
Are seniors souring on the Republican Party?
Really?
Yeah. Well, this... They keep saying Hillary's too old to run. That could be it. The last little bit of their Democrat. The GOP has lost more support among voters over 65 than any other demographic group in recent months, according to a new poll. This was surprising. As bad as things get for Republicans with women, with minorities, with youths, there's always been one group they can count on, the old. But now
until they started going after Medicare.
Right. Now one pollster sees evidence that even seniors are starting to turn on the GOP. Just 28% of voters 65 and older had a favorable view of the Republican Party versus 40% who had a positive view of Democrats. Oh, Don DeLos, yikes.
Mm.
It's now strikingly clear that seniors have turned sharply against the GOP, said one of the polling associate. We've seen other voters pull back from the GOP, but among no group has this shift been as sharp as it is among senior citizens. And that may be...
They're going after Medicare, Meals on Wheels, and the post office. That's where a lot of people get their medicine
right. from. So. Yeah, exactly. Nicely done, Republican Party. When you've lost old, angry white people, not really certain who's left for you. Oh, Chris, I hate to end on such a dour note, but the dream of the Heathers TV show is dead again.
I know.
Bravo will not be going forward with Heathers.
God, Heather, what's your damage?
Right? What's your damage, Bravo?
Bravo is a bunch of Heathers.
Remember, exactly. Obviously run by a bunch of Heathers.
Sure.
Remember these... BuzzFeed writes, remember these wise words, Heathers fans. If you were happy every day of your life, you wouldn't be a human being. You'd be a game show host.
That's right. They mixed some liquid Drano with some orange juice and a phlegm globber, and they fed it to the TV series, and it crashed through the coffee table.
Right. Exactly.
What? Did you ever see that? You never saw Heathers, did you?
I did.
You
yes,
did?
I did.
You know when they fed one of the Heathers the liquid Drano and she died, crashed through the coffee table?
Okay. Now I got it. Okay.
Yes.
Now I got it.
Horrible.
Right.
Oh, it was the blackest comedy ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And scene. All right. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Travis on phones and drums, Jackie's Healthcare Corner, all that stuff today. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.